In the West End of London, as I've already mentioned, residents grumble about a lot of different things. We grumble about noise. If you've been to central London, you know how many bars and restaurants and clubs and so on there are. And although many of them sell food, it's alcohol that's the main thing. And people come out and they're noisy. And they're not just noisy at 11 p.m, they're noisy at 12 p.m, at 1 a.m, at 2 a.m, at 3 a.m. By 4 a.m, the last places are kicking out, usually. We've got pedicabs. Do you know those things? The cycle rickshaws. And now quite a lot of them are electrified, but that's not the problem. The problem is the speakers that go on the pedicabs, because the riders think that that noise attracts attention and makes their customers, their passengers, enjoy the ride. Passengers may enjoy the ride, but again, at 2 o'clock in the morning, residents don't enjoy it if ABBA is blasting out. We don't like buskers too much. They're all right if they're just doing half an hour and they're very skillful and playing nice music, but when they're outside your Co-op supermarket begging for hours on end with an accordion, you're not so keen. We're not keen on deliveries at 2 o'clock in the morning, where the lorry driver just clanks the back of the vehicle down to get the stuff out and deliver it into a restaurant, for example. We don't like blocked pavements. Those Lime bikes, those green things, and there are lots of other different types as well, they litter the West End. And if you've got any problem with mobility because you're older or you're disabled, you have a baby in a pushchair, they're a nightmare. I could go on and on, believe me. But for now, you get the point. There's a lot of things for us to grumble about, things that aren't right. But when you ask people, well, what have you done about it? Well, nothing. And when you dig into it a bit, well, there's a bit more to that than perhaps meets the eye. You see, a lot of people will have done something about it. They will have tried on one occasion or another to report something, but nothing really happened. And so they don't bother to do it again. The council and the police have all sorts of ways that you can report problems. Why not use them? Well, most people don't use them, partly because they're lazy, partly because they can't be bothered, partly because they leave it to other people, but often it's because they've tried and nothing happens, so they don't have much faith in the system. They don't believe that they will get a response. I want to ask you this morning whether it's the same with you and God. How much do you pray to God about your particular problems? We have all sorts of issues, don't we? Personal problems, larger problems, problems that affect other things in our lives. Some of them are very small, trivial. Some of them are huge. But how much do you pray when you have those sort of problems? You see, if you don't think it's going to make much difference, you're probably not going to bother to pray. And if we're honest, well, that's true, isn't it, sometimes? And if we do pray, well, do we genuinely expect to get a response? Or are we sort of going through the motions when we pray? We pray because we know we should. We pray, it's part of our routine, but it's not a real engagement with God. We're not asking him to do something because it really matters to us and expecting him to answer. And today I want to encourage you to pray and to pray with faith. Let's begin in Hebrews. Hebrews 11 verse 6 gives us the basics of faith. The writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Why are you going to pray to God if you don't believe he exists? God is. Whatever we think about him, and there are plenty of people who don't believe in a God, but God is. We can see him in creation. He's revealed in the Bible. And above all, we see him in the person of Jesus Christ. God is. God exists. And God rewards those who seek him. That's what the writer to Hebrews says. The writer is telling us God will answer prayer. And actually, if you don't believe that, you need to pray. because you need to pray that God will open your eyes. If you're always trying to work it out yourself, you need to stop that. You need to turn to God. You need to depend on Him. The Bible tells us that our hearts and our minds are affected by sin. That we can't find God by ourselves. We can't use our intelligence to work out what to do about God. Oh, we need to think about it. But we need to think about it with God. And we need to ask Him to help us to understand these things that we cannot understand for ourselves. So our first prayer should always be to God for faith, for the forgiveness that He gives. That's the first reward we need from God. He rewards those who seek Him. If we seek God, then we will discover, as we were talking earlier on in the service, about our guilt. We're not entitled to come into God's presence. He's holy. We're not. We're sinful. We've not lived our lives in every way for the person who has made us, who has given us life. We've lived lives for ourselves, haven't we? And God needs to judge that. But, as we've also said, God has made a way for that to be dealt with. There is forgiveness and freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to give us a new relationship with God. And Hebrews shows us Jesus as the only one who can establish that relationship between us and God. The relationship that gives us the right to come to God in prayer and gives us the confidence that when we pray, He will hear us. Let me find some verses in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. The writer goes on to explain how Jesus is the great high priest, the one who's made the sacrifice that is necessary in order for us to come to God. But listen to this. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Through Jesus, we can come to God with confidence. And God is there to give us His help in our lives. First of all, by dealing with our sin, through forgiveness, and then with everything else in our lives. Prayer is more than asking for things. We praise God when we pray, don't we? We confess our sins. We thank God for His goodness to us. But asking God for stuff is a vital part of prayer. So if you have the right to ask God for things, if you are trusting in Jesus for your forgiveness, the next question is, do you use that right with confidence, with faith? And there are three particular things that you need to believe to do that. I'm going to use illustrations from the Gospels, from Jesus' teaching, but also from what He did, and how people responded to Him in order to understand this better. Jesus, of course, reveals everything about God to us, His truth, His love, His wisdom, His power. Jesus is the go-to place if we really want to understand God and know God best. And here's the first thing we need to believe. If you want to believe and pray with faith, you need to believe that God is able to answer your prayers. And you sort of think, well, that's not really a question, is it? We can't possibly wonder whether God can answer our prayers, can we? This is the God who, the Bible tells us, brought the world into being and everything beyond the world that we live in. Just by speaking, God said, and there was. This is the God who's shown His control over the world that we live in the Bible, time after time after time. The flood that destroyed mankind in Noah's day. The parting of the Red Sea to allow the Israelites to escape from Egypt, and then the waters crashing down over the Egyptian army. The walls of Jericho collapsing after the people had marched round in accordance with God's instructions. And fast forward, this is the God who raised Jesus from the dead. God is able to answer your prayers. But in practice, be honest. Don't you sometimes think, I want this, but it's never going to happen. It's a good thing, but no, I can't see it. I want that person to become a Christian, to believe in Jesus, but no, they're not going to. We limit God's power sometimes in our own minds, thinking ahead, what's going to happen in the future? Oh, that can't happen. That's not going to take place. And if we think like that, then we probably don't bother to ask God to do it. We've decided already. Why ask? We read the passage from Matthew 21 because that's very clear that Jesus doesn't think like that. The miracle with the fig tree is remarkable. We won't go into why Jesus says this and what it means, but there is walking along and there's a tree that withers straight away as Jesus speaks. The disciples are amazed. But Jesus then goes on to say, if you pray with faith, then this mountain can be thrown into the sea. Now, Jesus isn't saying anything you pray for will happen. Jesus is saying God can do anything. And we need to learn that lesson, don't we? As we go through the Gospels, we find some people who very clearly expected Jesus to be able to do anything. They had real faith. There's a story at the end of Mark chapter 10. The blind beggar, Bartimaeus, and he knows that Jesus is around, and he's calling out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, shut up. He doesn't want to be bothered with you. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He keeps on. And Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Bartimaeus has no doubt at all that Jesus can do it. And what happens? Jesus says to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You've come to the right person. I can do it. Here you are. Immediately, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Bartimaeus didn't have a problem. He believed that Jesus could do anything. But in the previous chapter, Mark chapter 9, we see someone who perhaps is a bit closer to us sometimes, the father of a boy possessed by an evil spirit. Mark chapter 9 from verse 14, the story goes, Jesus has been up a mountain with Peter, James and John, transfigured. His glory, the glory of God, has been visibly seen by those three men. And Jesus comes down the mountain and there's a problem because the disciples have not been able to cast out this evil spirit. What's going on, Jesus says, and he understands the situation. And then Jesus asks the father of the boy, how long has this been happening? From childhood. It has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That man is not as sure as Bartimaeus. If you can do anything. Well, he sort of hopes, but it is a very human hope. It might happen, but it might not. I'm not sure. I don't know. And Jesus picks him up. If you can. And then he says these tremendous words. All things are possible for one who believes. All things are possible for one who believes. If you're the sort of person who just isn't sure, can God really do this? You need to remember those words. All things are possible for one who believes. I think often we need to pray like this man because his response to Jesus is very simple. I believe, help my unbelief. I know my weakness. I'm not here thinking there's no chance. I want to believe that Jesus, you can do this, but I don't have that faith that Bartimaeus has actually. And so please give me that faith. You are the only one I can turn to. And we need sometimes that desperation to ask God for faith that we don't have, to persuade us, to convince us that he is able to answer our prayers. This father in Mark chapter 9 discovers what God can do, because Jesus drives out the evil spirit. Mark says, after crying out and convulsing the boy terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. That boy's life transformed by the power of Jesus, because his father brought him to Jesus, but his father wasn't sure. Help my unbelief, we sometimes need to pray. He discovered what God can do, so can we. When you pray, remember that God will have no trouble answering whatever your need is. Believe God is able to answer. That's the first thing. We need to believe that God is able to answer. We need to believe that God is willing to answer our prayers. This is connected with the confidence that we need to come to what the writer to Hebrews called the throne of grace. Is God willing to answer my prayer? Well, it's about the relationship that we have with God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his disciples about our Father in heaven. That's how the Lord's Prayer starts, isn't it? And if you read through the sermon, you can check to see if I'm right. But I think there are 16 references in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, 16 references where Jesus talks about our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father. It's a real theme of the sermon. Because what Jesus is saying is that we've been brought into a family relationship with God if we trust in him. And when we turn to Matthew 7, the passage we read earlier on in the service, we find Jesus teaching his disciples about the Father who wants to give good things to those who ask him. Matthew 7, verse 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. God is waiting. God is ready. He wants to hear you. He wants to answer your prayers. He's the Father who wants to give you good gifts. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray for their daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. He encourages them not to be anxious. There's no need to be anxious. God knows what you need. He understands all of that. Don't worry about it. Trust him. Now, in the Gospels, again, we find people who are not so sure about that. Just after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 8, there's a leper who comes to Jesus. He seems less bothered about Jesus' ability. The father of the boy possessed by the evil spirit wasn't sure Jesus could do it. Matthew chapter 8, a leper came to Jesus and knelt before him saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He believes Jesus can do it. He's just not sure if Jesus wants to. That's interesting, isn't it? He's not certain, but he finds out by asking. He doesn't stay away, oh, well, I'm not sure, so I won't ask. No, he comes to Jesus and he is healed immediately, Matthew tells us. So perhaps we need to do the same thing. Perhaps we need to come and ask God and discover that he does want to answer our prayers. We should know it because we're taught it in the scripture. The Sermon on the Mount is very clear. But it's so easy to feel, well, who am I? I'm so insignificant. I even look around in a gathering like this and I know that I'm the least important person here. Why is God going to bother with me? I'm unworthy. I know how I've lived this past week. I know what I've done. I can't expect God to do anything for me. Well, why should God bother with you? We don't have an answer to that question. We only know that he does bother with us, that he does care, that he has given Jesus, that Jesus has done everything to give us this relationship of a child with a father. So when we come to God trusting in Jesus, we come as God's children. He is our Father. He does care for you personally and individually. When you pray, believe that God is able to answer your prayers. Remember that God is ready to answer. God is willing to answer your prayers. So if we have faith, we can believe that God is able. We can believe that God is willing to respond to our prayers. Well, hang on a minute. Why do we not get what we ask for sometimes? Perhaps quite often. How does that work? I've asked God for this and it still hasn't happened. Well, maybe we need to persevere. But there is a qualification for answered prayer. And we find that qualification in the third reading we had from Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew 26, with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the third thing we need to believe, God is able, God is willing, God knows best. Because as Jesus is heading towards the cross, knowing fully what will happen to him, Jesus is not taken by surprise when he gets arrested. He's not taken by surprise when he's nailed to the cross. As Jesus is heading towards a painful, a gruesome, a shameful death, he comes to his Father in prayer. And what does Jesus want? He wants this cup, the death he's about to experience, to be taken away from him. I imagine that we often think when Jesus says the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, he's talking about the disciples. I think he might be talking about himself. He has a body of flesh like us. He has to face the reality of a painful death. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Does that describe Jesus' prayer? Maybe it does. Take this cup from me, Jesus says. Does Jesus pray with faith? Of course he does. Listen to the end of his prayer. My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus knows what he wants, but he trusts his Father to do whatever is right and whatever is good. And Jesus is willing to accept whatever his Father's answer is. And so should we be willing to accept whatever God's answer to us is. A writer called, a preacher called Brian Chappell, talks about Aladdin's lamp prayers. We think we just go to the lamp, rub it, the genie comes out, we tell the genie what to do, and we get what we want. And we treat God like that. We think we can just rub the lamp and get what we want. But the Bible doesn't say that at all. The Bible says that praying with faith means trusting God's answer, not telling him what to do. And so unanswered prayer sometimes is because we have prayed, my will be done, not your will be done. Your will be done means being willing to accept God's answer, no. Lord, do this for me, please. I want that. I need that. No. God will sometimes say no because he knows best and we need to trust him. And sometimes God will say wait, which may be why you need to keep praying and keep on praying. Jesus taught about persevering in prayer. And sometimes Jesus will say, that's what you want, but this is better. And we need to believe that. We need to trust that. And there are some people who say, well, that's just a cop-out. That just means that anything that happens is going to be all right one way or another. But no, it's not a cop-out. It's true faith. Because otherwise you're saying, well, God couldn't answer. It was too hard for him. Or God didn't want to answer. He wasn't willing to answer. He couldn't be bothered. Or what God answered was wrong. And would any of us say that? Would we dare to say that God was wrong? Of course we wouldn't. No, when we come to God in prayer with our needs, we should tell God how we feel. You can often see that in the Psalms. Jesus does. Take this cup from me. You can tell God what you want. You can tell God what you think you need. But don't tell him how he must answer, because he knows best. So I wonder what answers you need to prayer today. I'm sure among you there are people with problems with their health. I'll mention John in a minute, we have somebody who has appointments two or three every week, it seems, about different things. Maybe you have a problem with money, with finance, with your income. Maybe you have a problem at your work. Maybe you're going through a real spiritual struggle about something. Maybe on your heart is the salvation of somebody who will not come to faith in Jesus. We need to think about praying with faith, don't we? We can do that on a personal basis. So John, who I just mentioned, some of you know him. John has all sorts of health issues. Going back some years, including having had treatment for cancer and suffering the effects from that treatment, one of his problems at the moment is blood pressure. Sometimes it's really, really high. Sometimes it's really, really low. And nobody's found the answer to that yet. Now, when we pray for John, when John prays for himself, what is he praying for? Well, he's praying for healing. He's praying to have no health problems. He can't be doing with it. It's really been hard for him. And yet God has not answered that prayer in the way he wants yet. But it may be that there is something better for John than physical healing. It may be learning to trust God, learning to be patient, enjoying God's peace, even though he is suffering physically, persevering in faith through hard times. Maybe that's better for John. Growing his faith, bringing glory to Jesus. Better than just having an easy life because his body's okay. John needs to trust that God knows best. And I'm glad to say that, and in an increasing way, he is doing that. Our prayers may be for a wider thing than just a personal issue. It might be for the church, for the life of the church, wanting our church to grow. It's lovely to have a baptism here this afternoon for St. Giles, to have one next week. Brilliant. But how many people are here and how many people are out there? And we face that certainly in the West End. Recently, I heard a report back that Keith and Maria had been knocking on doors for a day, and it had been really, really discouraging. Some doors closed pretty quickly, lots of people not in, just not interested. They felt really discouraged. And Keith came and shared that with me, and we prayed about it as a church. And the next time they went out, oh, it was great. Such a small thing. We bring our needs, our concerns to God, and God answers in a small way. We want more than a friendly response. And we've been waiting years for more than friendly responses. The last person who was converted through our church, or in relation to our church, was years ago. But had we been praying for Keith and Maria when they went knocking on doors? Well, maybe a bit. Had we been praying with faith? Had we really been expecting God to answer our prayers? Well, maybe not so much, because so often nothing much had happened. So we pray because we know we should, but we're not really expecting God to do anything. And yet you get a little encouragement like that. You ask people to pray, you get a better response. God answers in that way, and that leads to more trust, doesn't it? So you're going to pray again. And we need to build up that prayer of faith, don't we? You see, faith will pray. If we doubt God, we won't pray. If you're the sort of person who tends not to bother God, it'll never happen. God doesn't care. I don't know if I'm praying for the right thing. God just doesn't give me what I want. If you're the sort of person who has those doubts, be in no doubt at all, Satan is the person who stirs those doubts up. Satan's greatest delight is in stopping us as Christian believers having the relationship with God that Jesus has died for. Jesus has died to give us life. Satan persuades us now it's not going to happen. There's nothing much. What can you do? Don't bother God. It's not worth it. Look. Satan will do anything to spoil that relationship with our Father. Writing about faith in prayer, John Calvin said we should pray with the sure hope of succeeding. And he was right. Praying with faith means being secure in that relationship with God, with our Father, because of our trust in Jesus. It means knowing that God can do whatever's needed. It means expecting an answer because God is our Father, the one who loves us and cares for us. And it means trusting God's will because he knows best. Faith will present our needs to God. But faith will leave God to decide how to answer. So what I want to encourage you this morning is to put yourself in God's hands. Whatever your need is, whatever you're concerned about, whatever your burden is, ask him about it. Because your Heavenly Father is able and willing to answer, and he knows best. We're going to close with a song of trust in God. Trust in God as our shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd, taken from Psalm 23, and that chorus, I will trust in you alone. Can you really sing that from your heart this morning? I pray that God, by his Spirit, will enable you to do that. Let's stand to sing.